Maybe I'll be brave enough by then. By Triptonfell. Read by Silvercat 1620. Summary. So, Eddie starts taking a long sip. How long have I had the ring? Hen chokes on her coffee.
I'm sorry, she says, eyes wide behind her glasses. What ring?
Or an amnesia AU, with a twist. Notes. Turns out all it took to get me back into fandom after 7-ish years was some ridiculous firefighters in love and some really, really good fic. Seriously, y'all, the level of talent here on AO3 is insane. This is set in some nebulous future time where Eddie is back with the 118 and Maddie and Chim have returned. It's more vibes than plot, honestly, so try not to think too hard about things like medical accuracy or how amnesia actually works. Title from Pancakes for Dinner by Lizzie McAlpine, which is such a buddy song, it's not even funny. Eddie wakes up and promptly proceeds to freak the fuck out. Because he's in a hospital bed. He's in a hospital bed with an IV in his arm and the thick press of bandages against his forehead, and the last thing he remembers is getting home from the academy to see Chris and Eddie, a desperate voice is saying, vaguely familiar in a way he can't quite place. Eddie, calm down. It's okay. You're okay. Chris, Eddie gasps out, eyes flying open to meet the gaze of the unfamiliar man beside him, who looks just as panicked as he feels. My son, Christopher, is he okay? The man wrinkles his nose in confusion. He seems exhausted, dark circles under his eyes and hair dusted with soot. Eddie catches the glimpse of the LAFD symbol on his t-shirt. He must have been one of the firefighters that brought him in, although that doesn't quite explain what he's still doing here. Chris is fine, the strange firefighter says, voice low and soothing. He's at home with Carla. I just FaceTimed them half an hour ago to check in. Eddie frowns. What the fuck is a firefighter doing on the phone with Chris? I don't know a Carla. Sorry. You must have me confused with someone else. The firefighter suddenly goes very, very still. Eddie, he says slowly, and Eddie still has no clue who this man is, but the pained tone of his voice makes something inside of him ache. Eddie, do you know who I am? Should I? Eddie asks, and the last thing he sees before everything fades to black again is the man's face. He looks heartbroken. 4 years. He's lost 4 years. Shannon's dead. He's a firefighter now. He has a new scar on his chest from where another bullet ripped through him in broad daylight. He's lost 4 years. The unfamiliar man, Buck, he introduces himself as, mouth twisting as if he's tasted something bitter, fills in the gaps for him in a short, clipped tone, hands playing aimlessly with the edge of Eddie's hospital blanket. Eddie has his wits about him enough to realize that Buck's omitting a lot. He barely mentions himself, which doesn't seem right given that he's refused to leave Eddie's side, but he's grateful for the information nonetheless. He learns that he graduated at the top of his class from the academy, and that the man who came in briefly to drop off food for them and squeeze Buck's shoulder is their captain at the 118, Bobby. He asks Buck, afterwards, if Bobby is his dad, and is rewarded with a soft laugh. Pretty much, Buck says, which clears absolutely nothing up. He'll be thrilled that you thought that. After Bobby comes the doctors, which are far less fun. Buck sits to the side, hands spasming like he wants to reach out and hold Eddie close as the doctors tell them it's likely that his memories will return soon, but it's not a guarantee. Eddie catches a bunch of the nurses shooting sympathetic glances his way as they leave, clearly familiar with the two of them, and he raises an eyebrow. Do we end up here a lot? Buck snorts. You have no idea. There are more visitors, too. Two women with their hands clasped tight together, and a younger couple with a toddler. Buck excuses himself for a minute to talk with the couple, and when he returns, his eyes are suspiciously red-rimmed. Where's Chris? Eddie asks after they leave, the round-faced toddler waving goodbye from her mom's arms. At school, Buck says, pulling out his phone. Your abuela just texted me, actually. Her and Peppa are going to do pickup today so that they can all come here after. Eddie blinks once, not sure if he's misheard. Why do you have my abuela's phone number? Something like hurt flashes across Buck's face, so subtle that Eddie almost misses it. In case of emergencies, he says, and there's an unreadable edge to his voice. For work. We're partners, I guess. Partners, Eddie echoes, and Buck's expression softens. Look, I'm sorry. I don't mean to take this out on you. I just... Today's been really fucking hard. Honestly, and the person I normally talk to when things get hard is, well, you. He scrubs a hand through his hair. But I know it's not your fault, and I know when you're feeling better, we'll talk all this through. He fucking loved talking things through lately. It drives me insane. He laughs, and there's no humor behind it. I thought you died. I thought you were dead, and I was going to have to tell Chris that... Fuck. He cuts off abruptly, shaking his head. Sorry. I'm sorry. His hands are still twisting the edges of the hospital blanket, so hard that Eddie's worried he'll rub his fingertips raw. He looks at Buck, really looks at him, takes in his tear-stained face and his messy hair, and a sneaking suspicion begins to grow in his chest about what exactly Buck meant when he said that they were partners. "Can I hold your hand?" Eddie blurts out, and he didn't mean to say it, but once it's out of his mouth, he doesn't want to take it back. Surprise blossoms on Buck's face. There's something else there, too. Relief, maybe? Eddie's not quite sure. What? Yeah, of course you can. He tangles their fingers together messily, trying his best to avoid the cables attached to Eddie's arm. Eddie wants to stay awake, he really does. But the pull of sleep is too much to resist, and he drifts back to unconsciousness with Buck's hand still clutched tight in his own. Seeing Chris is... weird. That's not to say that Eddie isn't grateful to see him. God, he really is. But it's strange to look at the near teenager in front of him, at least a foot taller than when Eddie saw him last, his hair curling down his forehead in a way that, oddly, reminds Eddie of Buck. And remember that that's his son. Thankfully, Chris doesn't seem to have the same reservations as Eddie. He practically launches himself at the bed, crutches clattering to the ground beside him as he goes. Buck laughs, and when Eddie glances over at him, he's smiling in a way that he hasn't seen before, so bright that it fills the room around them. The sneaking suspicion in Eddie's chest grows. Abuela and Peppa fuss over him relentlessly, just as Eddie knew that they would. They're older now, too, he realizes, watching the careful way that Abuela holds herself upright, the lines on Peppa's face that weren't there before. Near the end of their visit, Abuela asks Eddie if he'd like her to let his parents know what happened, and the relief on his face must be evident because she laughs. I'll take care of it, she promises, kissing his forehead before her and Peppa disappear down the hallway in a cloud of rose-scented perfume. Thank God, Buck says, shifting in his chair. He's got an armful of Christopher in his lap, their long legs nearly tangling together. Watching them makes something in Eddie's heart glow. Eddie, I love you, but Helena scares the shit out of me. Chris's eyes pop open from where he's been pretending to sleep. Some things never change. That's a dollar in the aquarium jar, he chirps, and Eddie can barely hear him over the rush in his ears, the pounding in his chest as he repeats Buck's words to himself. I love you. I love you. I love you. That settles it then. Buck. This beautiful man, and now that Eddie knows he's allowed to really, truly look, he can confidently say that yes, Buck is beautiful, is somehow his. That sometime in the last 4 years, Eddie wound up with a partner who sits anxiously by his bedside and contributes to a swear jar that they use to fund their aquarium trips. Trips that he probably goes on with them, Eddie thinks semi-hysterically. He's not quite sure what his face is doing at the moment, but it must be at least vaguely concerning because Buck shoots him a worried glance from where he's been teasing Christopher. You okay? Fine, Eddie promises, busy ogling Buck's arms in his LAFD shirt, because that's something he's allowed to do as his partner.
He wants to tell Buck, wants to scream it from the rooftops that he knows that they're together. But something in Buck's expression makes him pause. It's just, for whatever reason, Buck purposely hasn't told Eddie about this, about them. He thinks of being younger, thinks of what he would do if Shannon suddenly lost all memories of the two of them together, and yeah, it's understandable that Buck needs some time before telling Eddie that they're in a relationship. He'll just have to be patient and wait for Buck to be ready. God knows he doesn't want to push him. I'm fine, he says again, poking Buck's arm in an attempt to make him smile. Between them, Christopher giggles. Seriously, I'm just missing my home and my own bed. Buck nods, looking relieved. The doctor was in here again earlier while you were napping. Says that your scans came back clear, so you're probably fit to be discharged soon. Want me to go see if I can track down a nurse? Please. Buck extricates himself from Christopher, handing him back his crutches without missing a beat. They set off down the hallway together, and Eddie shamelessly watches Buck as they go. And, wow. Eddie doesn't know what he's done in his life to be deserving of that ass, but whatever it is, he's grateful for it. Eddie quickly is realizing that whatever it is he has with Buck, it's pretty damn serious. For starters, he's pretty sure that Buck is living with them, if the state of his bedroom drawers are any indication. His first morning after returning home, he slips into a pair of sweatpants that are just a bit too oversized at the waist, and it takes Buck almost choking on his orange juice for Eddie to realize that they aren't his. Buck spends the rest of the day looking at him like he's about to pounce, which Eddie wouldn't be opposed to, honestly, but he stubbornly keeps his hands to himself. He has to spend nearly half an hour that night convincing Buck that he's fine to share the bed, and even then Buck stays firmly on his side, coiled up tightly around his pillow. Part of Eddie thinks it's sweet, in a way, that Buck is being such a gentleman around him until he gets his memories back. The other half just wants Buck to bend him over the kitchen counter and fuck him already. It isn't just the pants, either. There are pieces of Buck scattered all over the house, from photos of him and Chris on the mantel to the Kiss the Cook apron hanging over the pantry door. Eddie nearly chokes the first time he opens his spice cupboard and finds it full. He doesn't even know what half of them even are. And then there's the ring. Eddie finds it on the fourth day he's home, sorting through his closet in an attempt to feel even marginally productive. Chris left for school hours ago, and Buck's gone reluctantly to the station, but not before pressing a list of emergency contacts into Eddie's hands, which is overkill, honestly. He has his phone. And Eddie is well and truly bored. The ring's hidden behind a stack of his old high school yearbooks, tucked carefully into a black velvet box. It's beautiful. A deep steel gray band with a singular blue stone in the center that perfectly matches the shade of Buck's eyes. Fuck. Eddie slams the box shut and takes a deep breath. He was planning to propose to Buck, and now he can't even remember how they met. It hurts more than he was expecting it to, honestly. Eddie's had his fair share of tough moments over the past few days. He nearly broke down yesterday when he couldn't remember where Chris keeps his backpack. But the realization that he's truly forgotten the love of his life is enough to make him fucking sob, sitting alone in the center of his closet with the ring box clutched tight between his hands. He picks himself up after a few minutes, wiping the tacky tear tracks away from his face with the sleeve of his shirt. The ring box goes back where he found it, yearbooks neatly blocking it from view, and he stands aimlessly in his bedroom for a minute, not sure what to do next. The emergency contact list is still where Buck left it on Eddie's nightstand, and he picks it up, eyes scanning through names he doesn't recognize until he lands on Hen and Karen, written in Buck's messy scrawl. He vaguely remembers them from the hospital, remembers Hen's warm smile, and that's enough to propel him out of the house and into his car. Karen answers the door on the first ring, eyebrows rising as she takes in Eddie on her porch, his bloodshot eyes and an LAFD sweatshirt he's fairly certain says Buckley on the back. "Can I come in?" he blurts out, desperate, and Karen's face softens. "Of course." The house is unfamiliar. Everything fucking is, Eddie thinks bitterly. But cozy,
clearly a place meant for families to gather. Karen hustles him onto a plush sofa and then leaves for a minute, returning with a glass of water and Hen. Eddie accepts the cup gratefully. So, he starts taking a long sip. How long have I had the ring? Hen chokes on her coffee. I'm sorry, she says, eyes wide behind her glasses. What ring? Eddie rubs his forehead. I was cleaning out my closet and I found a ring. An engagement ring. For Buck. Hen's eyes, if possible, get even wider. Karen pats her wife's knee. Are you sure it's for Buck? She asks, not unkindly, but it makes Eddie bristle regardless. Positive. The gemstone's the same color as his eyes. Like, exactly. I don't know whether to laugh or cry, Hen mutters half to herself. To Eddie, she says, You haven't told us about any ring. You two tend to keep pretty private on that kind of stuff, if I'm being honest. Eddie frowns, trying to decipher the hidden meaning in her tone. You mean, we hadn't told you guys we were dating? We honestly weren't even sure if you two were dating, Hen says, still looking shell-shocked. I mean, we suspected, sure. Had some bets going on how long it would take you to admit it, but... A ring? Jesus, when you get your memory back, I'm gonna wring your neck for not telling us sooner. Eddie snorts. That sounds fair. So what are you gonna do about it? I don't know, Eddie confesses. His eyes are burning again and he rubs them roughly. I just want to remember. The couch beside him shifts, Karen coming to wrap an arm around his shoulders. I think you need to talk to him, she says, rubbing her hand soothingly on his shoulder. Tell him that you figured out you guys are dating and see what he says. He's probably just been following your lead, worried that he'll scare you off if he told you too much. I can't even remember our first kiss, Eddie says, and before he knows it, he's crying again, hot tears dripping down his face. Hen comes to sit at Eddie's other side and pulls him close. Talk to him, she says firmly, echoing Karen's words. Talk to him, and I promise it'll be all right. For both our sakes, Eddie thinks to himself. I really hope that's true. Eddie's waiting at the kitchen table when Buck gets home the next morning. He looks exhausted, a smudge of dirt under his right eye, but he brightens the second that he sees him. Hey, I didn't expect you to be up. Eddie shrugs. I woke up early. Decided to give Carla the morning off and take Chris to school. Buck purses his lips, and Eddie can see the fight that he's barely holding back. His desire to let Eddie regain his independence warring with his need to keep Eddie safe at all times. I'm okay, he says soothingly, holding out a hand. Buck reluctantly takes it, falling into the seat beside Eddie. I know you're worried about me, but I'm fine. The doctor's cleared me to drive, you know. Buck stares down at their joined hands, his expression unreadable. Doesn't mean I have to like it, he mutters, and Eddie's heart is practically overflowing with love for this stubborn, caring man. He tentatively moves closer, so close he can see the flecks of gray in Buck's eyes, so much like the ring hidden in his closet. Buck, he says softly, and then leans in to brush a kiss ever so gently over Buck's forehead. Buck jerks back as if he's been burned. What are you doing? Something curdles unpleasantly in Eddie's gut. Kissing you? I figured it out. Well, at the hospital, but Ken and Hen and Karen helped. But I figured it out. Us, that we're dating. We're not dating. And that is news to Eddie. What? We're not dating, Buck repeats firmer this time. His hand still grasped tightly in Eddie's is shaking. I don't know what Hen and Karen told you, but we're not dating. Eddie's mind is reeling. But you said you loved me, he protests. And maybe it's not his best line, but he's desperate. Buck inhales as if he's been punched. I never said I wasn't in love with you. I just said we weren't dating. Why not? Eddie demands, feeling foolish and heartbroken and utterly, utterly confused. Because. Why?
because I don't want it to happen like this. Buck explodes and then slumps back in his seat. I don't want you to want me just because you don't know me, he says, his voice hoarse. God, I've been in love with you for fucking years, and the only time you want me back is when I'm a stranger. He looks so young, sitting in the morning light of Eddie's kitchen, face vulnerable and afraid. Eddie takes a deep breath and remembers. I have a ring. What? I have a ring, Eddie says, and the memory rushes back to him like a wave. I've had it for months. I didn't even know why I walked into the store, but I did. And then I saw the ring, and he lets out a shaky breath. I remember just knowing that I needed to get it for you. For whenever we were ready. Eddie, Buck says, sounding tired. I already told you, we're not together. No, Eddie says insistently, forcing Buck to meet his eyes. I know that. I remember that. But I still bought it for you. Buck stares at him in something that might be awe. You remember buying me a ring? I remember everything about you, Eddie corrects, smiling. And it's true. More memories are streaming in. Buck curled up on his sofa, Buck and Chris together at the park, Buck laughing around the table at the loft, all forming together into a mosaic of the man Eddie loves. I remember your stupid posturing the first day we met at the station. I remember you saving me after the sniper. I remember... He pauses and takes a deep breath. I remember that I am hopelessly in love with you. Eddie, Buck breathes, and it sounds like a prayer on his lips. I'm going to kiss you now. They're both smiling when their mouths finally meet, teeth clattering together uncomfortably. Eddie laughs, and then Buck adjusts the angle, and then suddenly they're kissing. Buck's teeth tugging at his bottom lip, his hands warm on the sides of Eddie's face. You know, Eddie muses when they finally stop for a minute to breathe. I was so upset that I didn't remember our first kiss. I cried on Hen's shirt for like half an hour. Buck's fingers still from where they've been running through the short ends of Eddie's hair. I'll never let you forget, he promises. And Eddie knows that he really, truly means it. The end.